That's your friend John Weldon. We're in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and our study begins just now at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is the source. All true love must come from God. Human love is failing love, but God's love is unfailing. His love never faileth. Now we have received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and therefore have received the nature of God, and so he says, beloved, that is, you who are Christians, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is the proof that we belong to him. Now, this kind of love is foreign to nature. So, if this love is manifested, if this love is in us, it shows that we are born of God. Conversely, the absence of this love marks us out as not knowing God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now that's not to say that all love is God. But God is love means that this is his nature, this is his character. God is loving. Just as we saw in chapter 1 that God is light, meaning that he is righteous and pure and holy, so God is said to be love. Now, love has to be manifested, and so we read in verse 9, in this was manifested, or shown, or proved to us, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. There are many proofs of God's love, but there is no proof quite like this one. The sending of his only begotten Son into the world. This reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Herein is love, verse 10 says. Now this is the essence of it. Here is the proof of it. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation is the same as the word mercy seat. In the Old Testament, the law was put into the golden ark or box, and over that was a lid of pure gold called the mercy seat, and on this was sprinkled the blood. And God could meet with his erring people, his sinning people, he could meet with them there and show mercy to them because of the sacrifice. So the Lord Jesus was given to be the propitiation or the mercy seat for our sins. There's no other way to meet God. You would not dare to come to God with your own good works, for they're not good enough. One sin is enough to cast you into the lake of fire forever. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins can be put away. Now, God has proved that he loved us in doing this very thing for us. Now, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is the true incentive to love for one another, is the fact that God has loved us. You see, the law demanded love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But we hadn't done it. We seem incapable of it until God, in his great mercy, redeems us and puts his own nature and love within us. And Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad or poured into our hearts by his Spirit, which is given unto us. Now, no man has seen God at any time. This was said in John's Gospel, St. John, we call it, chapter 1 and verse 18. And there, he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, or told him out. That is, people could not see God because God is Spirit, but by sending his Son into this world, we know just exactly what God is like. We see God lived out in the life of his Son here on this earth. Now here he says, no man has seen God at any time. If we, Christians, love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In John's Gospel, we know God through his Son. In John's Epistle, the world should be able to know God through his people. because the same life that was in Christ is resident in every true Christian. He tells us here that his love is perfected in us, back in the second chapter of 1 John, and verse 5, we're told, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." So here we have those two things again that run all through John's epistle, obedience to the will of God and love to our brethren. Two things that show the love of God perfected in us, obedience to what he wishes us to do, and love for one another. "Now hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." The Holy Spirit within us will not occupy us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will occupy us with Christ. And a person who is really indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit of God will make much of Christ. And communion with God is established by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now he says, "We have seen and do testify." It isn't enough for you to know. You ought to tell it out. If you know Christ as your Savior, talk about him. Tell others about him. Tell your neighbors. Tell your relatives. Tell anyone you can, anyone who will listen. "We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Now is the whole world going to be saved? Most assuredly not. He says all men have not faith. Faith must accept what God has done for us. Faith must accept this Savior individually. But his death was enough. He could be your Savior. If he isn't, the fault must lie with yourself. "Now whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." The word "dwelleth" here has to do with abiding, that is, of a constant fellowship with himself. How did we come into this place? How did we get to be at home with God? How did we come to be in fellowship with himself? "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God." The eternal Son of the eternal Father, the confession of the deity of Christ, shows that you believe that he is what he said he is and are willing to trust him as your Savior. And he says in verse 16, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Christians know and believe God's love. Herein is love. The proof of his love is in what Christ has done for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That is, he is at home with God. He knows God's character. He knows that he is a loving God. He believes in him. He trusts him. And so he is at home with God. This is a marvelous thing to get hold of. If it isn't real to you, I pray that it will be. To know what it is to be at home with God. To be perfectly satisfied with the finished work of Christ. To believe that God loves you enough that he has made you his own. Now he says, "Herein is our love made perfect." Really, it should read, "Herein is love with us made perfect." It isn't our love for him, because our love is most imperfect. But his is perfect love. "Herein is love with him made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We saw in the third chapter that when the Lord comes back, we're going to be like him physically. We saw in the second chapter that we ought to be like him in our behavior, morally. But now here we see that we are like him as to our position. We are like the Lord Jesus. We have the same standing. He is the Son of God. So are we the children of God by faith in Christ. He is acceptable to God. We too are accepted in the Beloved One. Now when you realize this, there'll be no more fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, his perfect love for us, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you really believe God's love for you, if you really believe your acceptance in Christ, you'll have no more fear. You'll not be worried about whether you're going to get to heaven or not. You'll not worry about whether you're acceptable to God, whether you can come to him in prayer freely or not. But you know that you're in his presence, loved of him, and accepted in the Beloved One. We love him because he first loved us. One of the revised versions read, we love because he first loved us. Sure, we love him. We love the Father. We love the Lord Jesus. We love his people. We love our enemies, even. We love the souls of the unsaved. But he wants to test this, make sure that it's real, and so he says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This must be genuine. This is not just something to be said. This must be real. If you have really trusted Christ, if you have really believed the love of God, then you will sincerely and truly love your fellow Christians. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. This is not legality. This is not the Ten Commandments. This is the new nature within us that leads us to obey his word and to do his will in love for our fellow Christians. Have you received Christ? Are you believing, trusting in the love of God through the sufferings of Christ for you at the cross? Then let's thank him. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy Son, our Savior, and we thank thee for thy word, so that we may know thy great love to us. We pray that thou bless thy word to all who have heard it just now, in our Savior's name. Amen.